Thanks, B-Max. When I get announced like that, it might as well be a crazy guy. Come on up, father of four. But hey, happy Father's Day to you all. Glad to see you here. Are we on? Glad to see you all here this morning. And man, we've got a good word for you this morning. We're in our second part of our sermon series, I Made It. And it's graduation season. Some of you are taking tests, whether to become nurse, doctors, different things, different credentials. This is the season where we celebrate, I made it. And in fact, in the scriptures, there's this one story that Jesus gives. And it's called, many of us, maybe if you've grown up in church, it's called the parable of the talents. And what Jesus does, he says, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is like this father, this master who gives to three different people. He gives one, he gives five, another, he gives two, and then another one. And then he goes away and then he comes back. And then there's this one that had the five and doubled the investment. And there's one that had two and they doubled the investment. And Jesus has this line where he says, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of us at the end of our days, we want to hear that from Jesus? Well done, good and faithful servant. And so maybe you've been at funerals and you've heard this, and maybe you've heard this parable taught in church. And it's a wonderful parable. And so we often in the church only use this for our abilities and actual talents. Now, this word talent is actually a monetary term. It's a wage, a currency. But we often use it in as far as ability, because what Jesus says, he gave each one, he gave to the one five and to the one two and to the one, each according to their ability. And so we've often preached about how you can use the gifts that God has given you to the best of your ability. That's a right teaching of it. But also, what does God give us? He gives us three things. We often talk about it as the T's, the time, the talent, and treasure. We sometimes fail to see in this passage that Jesus doesn't mistake. He's very purposeful in his words, and he uses money. So he says the kingdom of God is like somebody who manages their money well. So before we look at that, we always want to have the end. I made it, well done and good and faithful servant. We want the blessing. We want to come back with a great return, don't we? But how do we get there? Jesus gives us a little secret here in the parable. We've heard this parable, the teaching, this account of Jesus where he feeds 5,000 people. And 5,000, we see men, and it was probably 10, 15,000, including children. But what I want us to see, we've heard this story, right? He took the five loaves and the two fish, and Jesus multiplies it, and everybody ate, so they had their fill. But there's something part of the story that maybe we miss, and let's look it up here. It's in Mark, and we'll pull it up. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews right in front of you. Grab that home. If you don't have a Bible, take that home. That's our gift to you. Keep it, read it. We'll put it up for you on the screen as well. But here it is. Mark 6, verse 31. Excuse me, 39. Then Jesus directed them, this is right before, to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. He gave them to all of his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. If we can look on the previous screen here, look up where it says this, that they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. But notice this right before the line, then Jesus directed them. Jesus, one of the most incredible leaders, a servant leader, before the miracle comes, before the blessing, we all love the blessing and the miracles, don't we? We love to talk about the feeding of the 5,000, but notice, before the blessing comes, there's organization, there's leadership, there's direction. And so if you've got your notes, pull your notes out. We've got our first kind of, how do we get that reward, well done and faithful servant? It's by getting organized. So first thing, above it all, get organized. And that's how we will look at this whole sermon, is how do we get organized? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says this, but all things should be done decently and in order. Do you know our God is a God of order and not a God of confusion or chaos? So God desires for your finances, for your life to be in order, to be organized. So if we are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we have to bring some organization, not just the blessing. And if you're joining us today, we're in a three-part sermon series. The first week we've talked about how we receive from God and everything is his, and what we give is actually just returning to him. And so we talked about how God challenges us to give the tithe and the tenth, and how we give 10% of our income back to God. This week, we'll talk about how do we save and how do we get organized in that way. And then the following week, we'll talk about how do we spend. Everything that we have is from God's, but he gives it to us. And our God is a generous God, and he wants us to enjoy the money. Because notice this, when Jesus says, In this parable, in the account, when he brings, you have it there in your notes, and he has everybody come back after he's given them the talent, in the parable of the talents, he says this, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See that I have gained 5 more. Now notice what the master's, God's response is, it's key here, verse 21. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Do you notice? He puts the man who had 5 and multiplied 5, he gives him more leadership. He entrusts more to him. And then he also says, you get to partake in the master's happiness. Our God is a generous God who enjoys things in order and blessing. And God says, I actually get to invite you to be a part of this blessing and part of this happiness, because Jesus said it best. It is better to give than to receive. Your heart will come alive when you actually give, and that's what we're working towards. But if we can't just live haphazardly and expect to just have a bunch of money to give away. We don't just miraculously give the tithe, God drops a bunch of blessing, and then we just have money to give away. It does work in some way like that, but before the blessing, we have to get organized. So the first step in taking out your notes is plan ahead. Plan ahead, point number one, plan ahead. For some of us, this morning, after we leave, our God-given responsibility will be as simple as creating a budget. Proverbs puts it this way, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't and even brags about it. A wise man plans ahead, a wise man forecasts what might come ahead and plans for it. A fool just lives kind of day by day and goes on. That we're told throughout scriptures to invest, to save, to be wise in our money. Proverbs 6:6-8 says this, go to the ant, you sluggard. Notice so far, he's already called us fool and sluggard. It's so interesting. God is not harsh with his words, but when it comes to finances, he even did that in the previous sermon last week. When he talks to the rich man who spent all of his money on himself, he says, you fool. Your life will be demanded of you this very evening because you decided that life consisted in an abundance of possessions. And you wanted to spend it all on yourself. And Jesus uses the words, you fool. So here we see again, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't. And then Proverbs 6:6-8 says, go to the ant. So using an analogy of an ant, you sluggard, there it is. Consider its ways and be wise. So you don't have to be a sluggard. You and I can be wise, but look how. It says, it has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. It stores up for the difficult days ahead. We see this same story in the story of Joseph. God gives Joseph a vision, a dream, and tells him there will be 7 years of abundance. The story is found in the Old Testament. And then 7 years of famine. Store up in those 7 years of abundance for the grain when it's all disappeared in the 7 years of famine. Pharaoh put Joseph in charge, and that's exactly what Pharaoh did. And do you know what? During the 7 years of famine, everyone came to Joseph because he was the one who had stored up, and God entrusted him with this vision, with this plan. Friends, in this day and age, we are living in the land of abundance. Stock market's higher than it's ever been. Job and unemployment's probably lower than it's been in recent times. And in many ways, our society's not perfect, but we're living in abundance. And those of us that went through the economic crash in 08 and 09, we know that. Like, we have come a long way since then. And a lot of advisors are always saying, who knows when the next dip is going to happen? But plan for it. Know that it will come. Jesus says this, in fact, in Luke 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says you're going to have trouble. Jesus says the rain will come. It's not if, but a matter of when it comes. Difficult times will come in your life. Do you know that the Federal Reserve had done a study that 40% of Americans, 40%, if they were given an unexpected bill of $400, that they would not be able to cover it. So if the study is right, 40% of us would get an unexpected bill, something comes up, and then we wouldn't be able to cover it and would be in financial trouble. Maybe we would have to put it on a credit card, paying 17, 18% and just getting crushed on the APR, on the interest rate. And so what happens in our finances, we don't forecast ahead, and so we find ourselves in a lot of trouble. Let me pause for a moment. I'm hoping this morning will be in many ways very practical for us. Because the way of the world says where you find joy and happiness is in spending, accumulating, buying more, getting the next best thing, the newest car, all these things. And they're not always bad. But what the world says, that's how you find your joy and happiness. Jesus says you will find your happiness, the master's happiness, in giving, and you will find joy as you will get a good return on your investment. So there's two types of joy. Because here's another stat that I thought was fascinating that I read this week. Let me pull this up here. When polling Americans and how we're doing on saving, because if I polled us right now and said, hey, you know you're supposed to save for retirement, right? The majority of us would say, yes, I know. But then when the studies say how many of us actually do it, we don't set money aside. And here's one example of that. Pulling up here. So a study done by Go Banking Rate says this, found that 35% of people whose income was less than 25% had less than $1,000 in savings. They wouldn't be able to cover that $400 bill. So that might not surprise us, right? Hey, not a lot of income coming in. It's difficult. But here's the kicker. 23% of people with $150,000 or more, 23% have less than $1,000 in savings. So it's not just a matter of income. It's a matter of what we're doing with our income. And it's not a matter of sometimes knowledge. We have this head knowledge, but a lot of times our hearts aren't affected and our habits aren't changed. This morning, we're going to look at a few healthy habits that we can get organized and so we can honor God with our finances and bless people. Because here's the thing, when that $400 unexpected bill comes and you get hit, you no longer are able to do the things you're dreaming of. Maybe paying for weddings, paying for your kids' college. Maybe it's going off to camp, summer camp today, or high schoolers. Where are you, some of you at? I just saw you guys back there already. There you are. Woo! Getting ready to leave for camp today. Parents, unexpected bill comes up and you're not able to invest in your children's spiritual development, we want to protect and prevent these things from happening. And it happens by planning ahead. It happens by preparing. Jesus says this, in fact. He says, the storms will come. And he says in Luke 14:28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You guys, God wants us to finish well. He wants us to run the race and finish it well. So how do we do that? We sit down and we count the cost. It's not as if some of us, we get that unexpected bill and Jesus says trouble will come. But I mean, how many of us, we live as if the car will never break down? The roof that's maybe only warranted for 15, 20, 30 years, and we live as if when that new roof bill comes, where did this come from? We knew for 30 years this was going to happen, and yet we don't set aside. So there's wisdom by planning ahead. You can just go down the line, the dishwasher, the water heater, all of these things, they have shelf lives, don't they? They will go out. But here's the thing. When you little by little invest, this leads to our second point. Some of us might feel overwhelmed, but by investing little by little, we can have great wealth. And we can have wealth that's built by the kingdom and not just by our own standards. Look at this. Proverbs says this, Proverbs 13:11. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So point number two is this. Invest wisely and invest slowly. Invest wisely and invest slowly. Now, years back when I was doing financial advising, I always found it, and I sat down with clients, some who were just beginning, and some who had millions and millions of dollars of net worth. And I always found, no matter who it was, people would always ask me these questions and say, Rob, okay, yeah, I see that you're like creating this plan, and it's incremental, and we're doing all this, but tell me what the best stock pick is right now. And I'd say, you know what the best strategy is? It's not the best stock pick. Do you know, just by simply investing in the S, and I'm not giving stock advice here, don't come after me for that. I don't want to be liable for that. But just investing, that 85% of financial advisors and some of these fund market managers, 85% of them cannot beat the S&P 500. And in fact, when they do one year, the following year they don't. So when somebody tells you, I know all the best stock picks, they're probably a liar. And also say this, you'll have friends that love to brag about, oh, I bought Netflix before, like when it was back when they were pushing DVDs, right? And now I've made it big. That's true, but they won't tell you about all the millions of dollars maybe they've lost in other investments. Be careful when people brag about their winnings because they're never sharing their losses. So don't get caught up in that. The best way, which is biblical, says invest little by little. For some of you, it will be trying to save $1 a day. Do you know, and in fact, what social psychologists and even financial advisors are learning, that this biblical principle of investing a little by little every day, take that dollar and put it somewhere where you can't touch it. Put it in a bank account where you can't touch it. Make it not accessible for you, but do it. Maybe it's $5 a day. Maybe for some of you, it's cutting cable. It's finding ways to be frugal and live a little bit within your margin, within your wages. Because we look at that stat, 150,000 don't have savings, 25,000 or less don't have savings. We can find ways to find margin in our lives and invest it little by little. Look at this. This was interesting on this biblical principle that came up. The stat that says, one researcher writes this, habits strengthen through associated and reward learning mechanisms that capture slow and the incremental nature of habit formation. With each repetition, small changes occur in the cognitive and neural mechanisms associated with procedural memory. So here's the thing. Scientists are saying this idea by saving a little bit every day actually begins to rewire our brains. some of our brains need to be rewired. Because media, everything says just buy, buy, buy and receive happiness. But we need to rewire our brains the way God intended it, saving a little so we can set aside, so we can live, as Dave Ramsey says, we live like no one else. We don't live like society lives, so that one day we can live like no one else. Now, God wants us to be blessed and have an abundant life, but also part of that abundance, that blessing, is so you can be a blessing to other people. And we'll touch more on that next week. But let's look at this. As we invest slowly and wisely, here's another little secret that, not really a secret, but in the scriptures. In this the parable of the talents, you've got the one that's got five and he doubles it. The one that's got two and he doubles it. And Jesus says, they're the ones that share in the master's happiness. But again, we ask, how? How do we get this increase? Here's another little secret from scriptures. Ecclesiastes 11:2 says this: invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. I was just speaking with someone afterwards and saying, I went and told my financial advisor, I want to diversify my funds. And they had told her, you're the first person that's ever, I'm always trying to convince people to do that. And they said, where'd you learn this? From the Bible. This idea that we're called to invest in multiple ventures. Here's the thing. God calls us to do this because things will go up and down. So how do you do this? Invest in real estate. Invest in the stock market. Invest in bonds and savings. Find different investment avenues and spread out your wealth, because sometimes certain things will go high and certain things will go low. And that's what God calls us to do, is spread out our wealth, so when one thing gets attacked, you're not, oh, how did this happen? My finances are ruined. God calls us to diversify. Take advantage of some of the things that are out there in the government. Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs. Do you know the government gives you incentives, tax incentives, to invest? The government says, we will give you tax breaks if you invest and you plan for your retirement. There's blessing when you set money aside. Diversify, do that well. But here's what I don't want us to miss this morning. And this point, the third point, is almost more important than all of them, is to invest ethically. Third point there, invest ethically. Proverbs 13:11 says this: dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Proverbs 28:20 says this: a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Thirdly, better to have a little bit of money than a lot of money, than much gain with injustice. I encourage you, if you're investing and you come to find a company, maybe it's doing really well, but you find out the company isn't paying their workers well, they're doing some corrupt things, I encourage you to pull your money out of that stock. I encourage you to invest ethically, to think about how you're taking care of people. And Paul, without going into all the details, I think the scriptures teach this, because it could be so overwhelming. You and I, we don't have enough time to research every single company that we invest in, every investment. But I'll tell you this, do your best homework. But if you come to find that you hear some news and you hear how somebody's being treated badly and you own that investment, sell it. The scriptures almost teach you don't have to go out. You can kind of live and don't live under this fear of like, I can't invest in anything because I don't know what everything that company's doing. Invest and go, but if you find out that that company's not doing something right, then you pull out. You treat people. People are more important than a little bit of financial gain. Your soul is far more important than the end of the day. Jesus said, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. But life consists in Jesus and giving our lives away. Let me end with this. In the story of the parable of the talents, the one who did not invest. Jesus comes to him and says, or the master comes to him, the father, if you will, comes to him and says, what did you do with my talent? The thing I gave to you, I demand it back. So look at this here. If we could pull it back, it's up earlier. It says this. His master replied, so skipping down, the man who had received one bag of gold came. He said, master, I knew that you are a hard man harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. Let me pause right there. Anytime you manage your money out of fear, you're going to end up in a world of trouble. There's a lot. Jesus says, there will be many troubles in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Your finances might not all add up the way the financial advisors want, but Jesus says, I've got you. And if I don't, I take care of the sparrows and I feed the birds of the field, will I not take care of you? So take heart. So if you're managing your finances out of fear, then I encourage you to re-examine your heart and re-examine your finances. I'd encourage you, if right now, even in this moment, to pause, because sometimes it's awkward talking about money, and we feel as if at church we shouldn't talk about money, it's taboo, yet Jesus talked about money more than anything else, because he knew what grabs a hold of our hearts. I encourage you, if you feel somewhat uncomfortable now, examine yourself, even write it in your notes, why do I feel this? Why do I feel uncomfortable about God speaking about my finances? Why is that? Think about that. Reflect on that this week. What's in my heart? Why don't I want God to tell me how to use my finances? So dig into that. But so this man says, so I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here, here's what belongs to you. So he's living by that principle, a penny saved is a penny earned. A penny saved is not a penny earned. Because if you tuck a penny away 10 years down the road with inflation, it will be about worth half as less as it did. So if you have $5,000 10 years down the road, approximately, depending how inflation goes, it can be worth $2,500. So just burying your investments is not a good idea. Jesus says you need to put your investment to work, because here's what he's saying. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. Think about that. We don't want to research stocks and different things and find investments. He's saying, you're wicked. You're lazy. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so when I returned, I would have received it back with an interest. He said, at least you would have got a little interest if you put it in a savings account, if you put it in the bank. Friends, here's the thing. God calls us to invest. He calls us not to live out of fear. Don't be afraid. He says, don't just bury your treasure. Don't bury your talent. Invest it, and there's blessing in it. But the most important aspect lies in this, in which Jesus affirms, turn with me in Matthew 23. We'll put it up on the screen. Verse 23 says this. Jesus speaking to a group of religious leaders who kind of think they're know-it-alls. They know it all about finances. They actually follow the rule of tithing, which is giving God back his first, the 10%, the tithe. He says this to them. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites. You give a tenth, that's the tithe, of your spices, your mint, your dill, and cumin. All of these spices that you're receiving, you're trading, you give first a tenth to God. But then he says, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He says, you should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. How many of us get confused anytime latter, former, right? Yeah, brain fried. So he's saying you should have not neglected to tithe, but don't neglect the more important thing. So yes, tithe, give the 10%, don't neglect that. But what you're called to do is not to neglect justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Friends, when you invest well, you can show others mercy. You can have margin to bless other people when they're going through financial hardships. You can bless this world when there's disasters come. You aren't scrambling. We know hurricanes, tornadoes, famine comes. Will you store up so you can bless other people? Will you store up so you can bless your family members? Will you store up so you can be generous towards God, so you can invest in the next generation? Will you store up so you can take part of these wonderful riches? And remember, you're joining in the Father's happiness, because he says it is better to give than to receive. God is a generous God who constantly gives and constantly gives. He says, I want you to be a part of this. So learn how to invest, learn how to save up, because the more you have, the more you're going to be able to give away. And I promise you, it's such a blessing. So my challenge to you is this week, maybe you need to go home and speak with your spouse, or maybe with your parents, or maybe you're just starting out in your career, and make a budget. If you're a student, start now. Because with the stock market, it would be better for you to invest now. You could stop by the time you're 30 and do better than your parents who start at 30 in the stock market and invest the rest of your lives, in their lives. I encourage you, this is important matters now. It's important to teach this to the next generation. But hear this, God wants your heart. He wants you to show justice to people, mercy, and he wants you to be faithful to him and show faithfulness to others. God loves you, and he cares about your heart more than anything. I said this last week. This is more than just about giving to the church. I would rather you go and give it to another local church if you're concerned about that. I would rather see that you're giving, instead of just trying to give here. God is so concerned about your heart and how you're generous with others. That's what I want to see of our people. Imagine what can happen when we do these things, when we invest, we enjoy and get to be a part of the Father's happiness, and we're so blessed and we're giving so much away and taking care of so many people. There's so much mercy that flows out of here, justice and faithfulness. Watch what God can do when you trust him with little. Little by little, day by day. Maybe it's a dollar a day, but watch what God can do through you. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy towards us. God, you have given me, you have given us all so much. I don't deserve anything, and yet you give generously. Father, that's the message of the gospel, that you call us to live and to thrive in an abundant life. And the way we do that is through your son, Jesus. Father, maybe some of us here have not managed our finances well. Maybe it's a day of reckoning for us here in this moment. But may we know that we find mercy in you. We find faithfulness. You are the faithful one. When we haven't been faithful with our finances, you were always faithful. And so, Father, forgive us for the ways we've made mistakes. And would this be the day that you call us to change, to transform? May you bring blessing in our lives as we trust you. And as we follow you, as we live the way that you desired us and you designed us to live, it's very different than what the world has to offer. Yet, Father, do not let the world rob our people of your joy. I pray that joy and blessing would go forth in this place. Would you bring blessing and joy to each and every person here as they trust you and follow you? We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.